ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
ॐ
नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Srimad Bhagavatam, second canto, chapter 2, The Lord in the Heart, text 36.
Tasmat, sarva, atmana, rajan, hari, sarvatra, sarvada, sautavya, kirtitavya, smartavya, bhagavan, Tasmat sarvatmana rajan Hari sarvatra sarvada Sautavya kirtitavya sha Smartavya bhagavan ninam Therefore Sarva Atmana, soul, Rajan, O King, Hari, the Lord, Sarvatra, everywhere, Sarvada, always, Srotavya, must be heard, Kirtitavya, glorified, Cha, also, Smartavya, be remembered. Bhagavan, the personality of Godhead. Ninam, by the human being. Translation. O King, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord, the personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. Purport. Srila Shukadeva Goswami begins this verse with the word tasmat, or therefore. Because in the previous verse, he has already explained that there is no auspicious means for salvation other than the sublime process of bhakti yoga. The bhakti yoga process is practiced by the devotees in different methods, like hearing, chanting, remembering, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, worshipping, praying, rendering service and love, becoming friendly, and offering all that one may possess. All nine methods are bona fide methods, and either all of them, some of them, or even one of them can bring about the desired result for the sincere devotee. But out of all the nine different methods, the first one, namely hearing, is the most important function in the process of bhakti yoga. Without hearing sufficiently and properly, no one can make any progress by any of the methods of practice. And for hearing only, all the Vedic literatures are there, compiled by authorized persons like Vyasadeva, who is the powerful incarnation of Godhead. And since it has been ascertained that the Lord is the super soul of everything, he should therefore be heard and glorified everywhere and always. That is the special duty of the human being. When the human being gives up the process of hearing about the all-pervading personality of Godhead, he becomes victim to hearing rubbish transmitted by man-made machines. Machinery is not bad, because through the machine, one can take advantage of hearing about the Lord. But because machinery is used for ulterior purposes, it is creating rapid degradation in the standard of human civilization. It is said here that it is incumbent upon the human being to hear, because the scriptures like Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam are made for that purpose. Living beings other than human beings have no ability to hear such Vedic literature. If human society gives itself to the process of hearing the Vedic literature, it will not become a victim to the impious sounds vibrated by impious men who degrade the standards of the total society. Hearing is solidified by the process of chanting. One who has perfectly heard from the perfect source becomes convinced about the all-pervading personality of Godhead, and thus becomes in glorifying the Lord. All the great acharyas like Ramanuja, Madhva, Chaitanya,
Saraswati Thakur, or even in other countries, Muhammad, Christ, and others, have all extensively glorified the Lord by chanting always and in every place. Because the Lord is all-pervading, it is essential to glorify Him always and everywhere. In the process of glorifying the Lord, there should be no restriction of time and space. This is called Sanatana Dharma or Bhagavat Dharma. Sanatana means eternal, always, and everywhere. Bhagavata means pertaining to Bhagavan, the Lord. The Lord is the master of all time and space, and therefore the Lord's holy name must be heard, glorified, and remembered everywhere in the world. That will bring about the desired peace and prosperity so eagerly awaited by the people of the world. The word cha includes all the remaining processes or methods of bhakti yoga, as mentioned above. Translation again. O King, it is therefore essential that every human being hear about, glorify, and remember the Supreme Lord, the Personality of Godhead, always and everywhere. Om Ajnana Simranandasya, Jnanandana Shalakaya, Chakshur Militam Yena, Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Here you have a very fresh angle to present for encouraging people to glorify Krishna. What is the proper time and place for glorifying Krishna? Shukadeva Goswami is letting you know that the Lord must be glorified in all situations, in all circumstances, all times, and all places. Why? Because the Lord is the master of all circumstances, times, places, and situations. Once you understand the full significance of Krishna as being the proprietor of everything, then it is natural to see why Krishna should be glorified at all times and in all places. In other words, and what is being magnified by Prabhupada in the purport, is that omnipresence and proprietorship over everything immediately implies that glorification should constantly go on everywhere and in all circumstances. First of all, people have a hard time understanding the Lord is everywhere present. They think that if the Supreme Personality of Godhead is indeed present everywhere, then He has lost His individuality and personality. Worse still, they think that how can God be present everywhere and anywhere if I cannot see Him? Srila Prabhupada describes that this urge to, or this demand to want to see God without qualification is demoniac. Now we might think, well, that's very severe. What's wrong with somebody demanding or wanting to see God even though they're not qualified? But just think about it. To break your way, to bust your way into a situation in which you're not qualified for, in which you don't have the background, you don't have the understanding for, to just bust your way into that kind of situation is considered very rude, uncouth, and barbarian. So to demand, why can't I see God, even though we have no qualification, this is, at the least, very rude. You can see that in Hiranyakashipu, and soon we'll be hearing more about Hiranyakashipu on the auspicious appearance day of Lord Nisringadeva. Hiranyakashipu was demanding, Prahlad, you always talk about this all-pervading Supreme Lord. Now, it's obvious that you're speaking nonsense. Why? One simple proof. It's obvious you're speaking nonsense, Prahlad, about this Supreme Lord who's everywhere, because I don't see Him. It all makes sense, Prahlad. I don't see your Lord, therefore He doesn't exist. This is the attitude of the mundane scientist and researcher. If something cannot be detected by our senses, then such a thing does not exist. So Hiranyakashipu became so confident, but based on his simple deduction, you talk about a God that's everywhere. I don't see Him. Therefore, such a God does not exist. And now what is the logical conclusion? I'm going to cut off your head and let me see that God you're always speaking about, who doesn't exist, save you. I want to see that. In other words, Prahlad, you're speaking so many big words about this all-pervading God. But we're going to see what happens, because your head is going to be cut off, and, as we all know, that God doesn't exist, because I can't see him, therefore nothing will save you from me. This is the arrogance of Hiranyakashipu. He had affection for his son, but at the same time, he could not tolerate that his son was immune to his attempts to kill him, and he thought that his son was trying to show off. Prahlad was trying to demonstrate that he was better at controlling the senses. Furthermore, Prahlad dared to recognize the power superior to Hiranyakashipu. So all these things overwhelmed his natural affection for his son. And he did have affection for his son. But these other things were just too much for Hiranyakashipu to bear. Therefore, he tried to kill his own son in spite of his affection. Now, what happened when Nrisingadev killed Hiranyakashipu? The Lord asked Prahlad, you may ask from me a benediction. And Prahlad replied, I'm not a merchant. I don't render service to the Lord in exchange for some material benediction. Then Prahlad said, if you must ask me for a benediction, then make it so that if you want to ask me what benediction do I want from you, then make it so that from within my heart there are no more material desires. But let us remember my father. You see, Prahlad accepted the affection of his father. Even though his father tried to kill him, Prahlad knew, materially he's affectionate to me. Now, of course, when Nrisingadev killed Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad offered him prayers. So the Prabhupada points out, if you watch someone kill your father, you wouldn't offer the killer prayers afterwards. But this is what Prahlad did. At the same time, Prahlad remembered the affection his deceased father had for him. And so he asked the Lord, please, I know that my father has already been purified just by your touch. Yet at the same time, I'm asking you, please, see to his liberation. And of course, the reply is that not only Prahlad's father, but so many of his generations would become liberated because of Prahlad's presence in the family. So, it's kind of hard for us to accept that. How can someone be demoniac who wants to see God without qualification? But just think about it. Think about someone banging on your door at the wrong time, demanding access, demanding to want to see you. And if you don't answer the door when someone's pounding on it, they conclude no one's home and no one lives there. They just rudely bang on your door. Let's say you live in one of the apartments across the street, and some stranger at 2:00 in the morning is banging on your door, and you refuse to answer it. So then the person concludes no one lives here, and so they, you know, throw a Molotov cocktail through the window and torture the apartment. All because you didn't produce yourself upon their demand. So if we think like that, we can start to understand a little why Prabhupada says it is demoniac to want to see God without qualification. In other words, that kind of desire puts yourself forward as being supreme, in that I don't have to submit to Krishna's standards. I don't have to submit to Krishna's sensitivity. I just demand to see God. And if I can't see him, that means he doesn't exist. This is demaniac. The whole process of bhakti yoga is to develop qualification in us so that indeed we can see Krishna everywhere. We develop those qualifications through devotional service. And as pointed out in this purport, devotional service begins by the authorized process of hearing. We should never underestimate what will come to us simply by hearing about Krishna. And we can trace so many of the problems in our spiritual life to our becoming slack about our hearing. Just like Bhagavatam class. It looks like, what's the big deal? A bunch of persons sitting on the floor hearing from some old book. But the fact is, by hearing Bhagavatam in the association of devotees, you are associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now you may say, well, I don't experience that. But Because our senses are polluted, we don't even recognize what's right in front of us. Bhakti yoga is the process of meeting Krishna through sound, meeting Krishna through service, meeting Krishna through glorification. But we think, I can only see Krishna with my eyes. But Krishna is absolute. Krishna has his own standard. He has his own way of existence. And that way means that you can see Krishna through your ears. You can see Krishna through your tongue. You can see Krishna through your service. Why do you demand that Krishna must be seen by the eyes when you have so many other senses? So this is the glory of Bhakti Yoga, a complete method for experiencing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, not just by seeing. When you hear Krishna, you are meeting Krishna. When you're serving Krishna, you are meeting Krishna. This is the extraordinary thing about Bhakti Yoga, the topmost process of spiritual realization. Not that you just see Krishna as conventionally understood by ordinary human beings. No. You meet Krishna in all the various activities of Bhakti Yoga. Now, when we remember that, we become very enthusiastic to render service. Yes, I want to meet Krishna through the nine processes of bhakti, especially through hearing. If you look at your daily schedule in that way, as a chance to meet Krishna, you'll become enthusiastic. Yes, let me meet Krishna through cooking. Let me meet Krishna through cleaning. Let me meet Krishna through glorifying Him, through distributing His glories. Let me meet Krishna. And once you realize you are meeting Krishna through your service, you won't feel alone or unfulfilled anymore. The big problem of modern so-called civilization is that in spite of people having so many complications in their life, technology, through working, even complicated sense gratification, they still feel unfulfilled and empty. And this is our fear in Krishna consciousness, that I will try so hard to please Krishna, but yet I will still feel unfulfilled. I'll still feel empty. We're afraid like that. I'll sacrifice so much. We see ourselves giving so much to Krishna, doing so much for Krishna. But then we worry, I'll be unfulfilled. There'll be a part of me that will be empty. Oh, I don't want that to happen. So we hold back. When actually, by giving ourselves in devotional service, we are meeting Krishna, and in that way we are never alone. Why do we have this fear that we'll be left half fulfilled, we'll be left empty because we have served Krishna? We feel that way, we have that fear because of improper absorption in devotional service. As long as you are properly absorbed in bhakti, you won't have that feeling of emptiness. But as soon as we slacken, or perhaps we've never properly absorbed ourselves in bhakti, then that fear is going to be there. Because fear is an essential component of material life. And that's why there cannot be real happiness in material life. Whenever you find fear and anxiety, don't expect to find real happiness. But living under the influence of the three modes of material nature deludes you in such a way that you think, oh yes, there's fear, oh yes, there's anxiety, and oh yes, there's also happiness. No, impossible. As long as there is fear and anxiety, there cannot be real happiness. So, to the degree that we feel affected by fear and anxiety, to that degree we are under the influence of material nature because we haven't absorbed ourselves fully in devotional service. So at least we should be honest. This is the reason why I feel unfulfilled. This is the reason why I feel anxiety stricken. This is the reason why I feel fearful, because I have neglected to fully absorb myself in an authorized way in devotional service. It's as simple as that. But once we understand clearly what's going on, that devotional service is an opportunity for me to absorb myself fully so that I meet Krishna through my service, then you become enthusiastic. Your only real anxiety is, how can I get enough service and how can I do that service properly? That becomes your heart and soul, because it's through my service that I will meet the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the essential instruction of bhakti, meeting the Supreme Personality of Godhead through service. Now, if we don't take devotional service seriously, we will not get spiritual realization. It's all right to believe in Krishna. We don't want to knock anybody who just believes in Krishna. But the fact is, bhakti yoga is active. That's why, as we were speaking last night, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita on a battlefield, the most active place you could think of. Action is where it's at. So when our actions are properly absorbed in Krishna, we won't have this fear that I'll be unfulfilled. I'll be left hanging by Krishna. I'll give myself fully to Krishna's service now, but then when I'm 50, I'll realize that, oh, I never really loved, or I was never really fulfilled after 20 years of service. No, that will not happen if you properly absorb yourself. Because when you properly absorb yourself in service, you learn to trust Krishna. And that is the great benediction, that I trust Krishna. I'll serve Krishna, and I know that there'll be no lack. I'll serve Krishna, and I trust that the Lord will bring to me whatever I need to better my service. This means real peace. Trusting Krishna through devotional service. That is the real solution to fear and anxiety. And this nagging, unsettled feeling we have that after I do so much for Krishna, still I'll be left hanging, still I'll feel empty and unfulfilled. Sometimes we look around and we see so many devotees, they've tried to surrender to Krishna and then they felt that something was missing and they went off. So, won't it happen to me too? Won't it happen to me that I'll give even just a little bit to Krishna? And then later I'll feel that I missed out, that my whole life missed the point. And so in my old age I'll have to try to then work hard to fill the hole in my heart. That's very tragic. I don't want that to happen to me. I don't want to become 50 or 55 and then realize I've had a hole in the heart. I haven't been fulfilled by devotional service. Now I've got to hurry up and get a material taste that will actually satisfy me. We should not have these fears. If we learn the art, science, and culture of how to cling tightly to Krishna in all circumstances, then there's no need to have any fear that you'll be left unfulfilled. What happens, though, is if we let go of devotional service, if we let go of absorption in bhakti, then we once again leave ourselves wide open to attacks from the material energy. And that's where the problems come from. If Krishna does not fill the heart, then the material energy must fill the heart. So even one can be around for 20, 25, 30 years amidst the association of devotees and doing service. But everyone has a different capacity. So you may be a very active person by nature, and your 50% engagement in bhakti looks much more than another person who might actually be engaged 100%, but they just have a different capacity than you. So Krishna is in everyone's heart. He knows how much we are giving to Krishna. It's different for everyone because people have different physical strength, intellectual strength, but everything belongs to Krishna, no matter how much physical or intellectual strength you have. The Lord wants to see, according to how much you have, how are you using that in my service? That is bhakti. And it is bhakti that attracts Krishna. It is bhakti that attracts people to come and see about Krishna. What is this special atmosphere here? What is it that the devotees are radiating? That is love for Krishna as demonstrated by their service. Nothing can ever become as attractive as bhakti. Lord Caitanya himself comes to demonstrate that point. Lord Caitanya is Krishna wondering, what's it like to be a devotee of myself? What are the devotees of me tasting? I'll come as a devotee and taste myself. This shows the super excellence of bhakti. Even Krishna is conquered by bhakti. Even Krishna wants to taste what it's like to be a bhakta. And here we are with the rare privilege of serving Krishna. An opportunity to absorb ourselves in the nine processes of devotional service in such a way that we don't have to fear, in the future I'll feel unfulfilled. In the future I'll feel a hole in the heart. If we're going to not trust, we should not trust material nature. We should not trust sense gratification. Why should we not trust Krishna? Krishna has not let us down. It is material nature that has let us down. It is the process of sense gratification that has let us down. Now, how many of us are honest enough to admit, I've been let down by sense gratification? No. So many, well, it's not that I've been let down by sense gratification, it's just that I didn't get a good opportunity. That's the thing. Now, when I have a good opportunity for sense gratification, which Krishna owes me, then everything will be all right. And after that, I shall renounce. After I get my just rewards, I deserve a good opportunity for sense gratification. Krishna has to do that much for me because I won't be able to go back to Godhead without that. When I have a good opportunity for sense gratification, I'll become peaceful and then I'll be fixed in devotional service. You know that verse in the Gita, right? After a good opportunity for sense gratification, you become peaceful and fixed in bhakti. No, that verse is not there. Because there's no such thing as good sense gratification. No such thing as good sense gratification. Think about it. Do you really accept that there's no such thing as good sense gratification? When you feel some so-called happiness from sense gratification, that feeling of so-called happiness is the worst enemy because it's an hallucination. You're feeling something that's not actually substantial, but that feeling is enough to bind you. That's the danger. The feeling is not substantial. It's flickering, but still it's enough to bind you to the cycle of repeated birth and death. And you're filled with expectations. Now try to understand this. How interaction in sense gratification changes your whole existence. Your whole life swings around to kind of basing itself on when is the good feeling going to be there? And why isn't the good feeling there? Your whole life becomes hinged upon so-called good sense gratification. So much so that you begin to demand it from Krishna. Look, Krishna, if I'm going to go on as your devotee, you know what I need. Now, we know it's not the best thing, but let's be practical, Krishna. That if I'm going to really continue in devotional service, there's going to have to be, at some point in my life, and probably a few times in my life, there's going to have to be some good sense gratification. Otherwise, it's going to be a rocky road, Krishna, and I will not be able to devote myself fully to you, especially at the end of my life, because I will have a hole in my heart due to not having good sense gratification. But if I just get some good sense gratification, I'll be enthusiastic to serve you. I'll be peaceful. Now, dare we to consider that there's no such thing as good sense gratification? Dare we to consider that we're being duped? Dare we to consider that even when we think we have good sense gratification, we have surrendered to an hallucination that causes us great harm? As Prabhupada writes in one purport in the Gita, the so-called feelings of happiness that you get from sense gratification are the worst enemy of you. Because you become bound to a situation that actually is insubstantial and is not in your self-interest. That's the point, that the so-called feelings of happiness you get from sense gratification are not in your self-interest. Think about that. Not in my self-interest, the feelings that I get from sense gratification. They don't bring about peace. They don't bring about fulfillment. But we get so overwhelmed sometimes that we demand of Krishna. Look, it's been 10 years, or 5 years, or 15 years, and there just has to be some experience of good sense gratification, and then my service will be able to, I'll be able to continue my service of determination. And we whine to Krishna, how am I going to become renowned unless I have those experiences? Come on, Krishna. We love you, but look, you know. Do you want to see me 50, 55 years old and never have had good sense dedication? I won't be fixed in renunciation. So therefore, Krishna, if you indeed are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, kindly arrange some good sense dedication. And then Krishna consciousness will be successful. So this is our thinking. Dare we to consider, however, that there's no such thing as good sense gratification. This is a frightening point. Dare we to think about that. There's no such thing. Now, we get a chance, perhaps, to discover this truth on our own, that there's no such thing. The more we think about it, the more we can see how it is true. You see, our process of Krishna consciousness is meant to conquer the mind by strengthening the intelligence. Our whole daily sadhana is meant for strengthening the intelligence so that you can get on top of your mind. Intelligence is the next door neighbor of the soul. So, by absorbing yourself in the processes of devotional service, your intelligence becomes strong and then it can rule the mind. But when we come under the influence of the mind, we suffer. When we rise above the mind, then we have a chance to make progress. So even though in Krishna consciousness, the soul is associating with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you have to consciously cultivate the development of clear intelligence to keep yourself fixed. Otherwise, you'll just walk out the door without understanding the real value of what you're doing here. You have to work on your intelligence to rule the mind. That means you've got to ask yourself questions. What do I really want? Why am I here? Is there such a thing as good sense gratification? What is the value of devotional service? When you ask yourself questions like that, you can begin to get on top of your mind. Because to answer those questions, you'll have to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam, associate with devotees, hear your japa. By asking ourselves the right questions, our mission becomes clear. I want to get on top of my mind, because material existence means the mental platform. Whatever comes in the mind rules your life. But bhakti means that you subordinate the mind to the intelligence. Real intelligence, buddhi, coming from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. These books that we have are Krishna's gift to us for developing real intelligence. You can become the highest scholar by studying Srimad Bhagavatam and applying it to yourself. So the 9 processes of devotional service give you the opportunity to be the greatest intellectual. The greatest intellectual is someone who can control the mind. When you control the mind, then you're no longer under the influence of material nature. So we're involved with these kind of things. And amazingly, in spite of our material differences, we all have an equal chance to successfully complete this course of sacred education. Whether you're a woman, man, child, adult, everyone has an equal chance as spirit soul. How to satisfy Krishna. How to control the mind. How to realize the truth about material sense gratification. Krishna says in the Gita, I'll take anyone back to Godhead from any material situation. Everyone's got an equal chance. They can go. And what is our specialty? We present excuses to Krishna. Oh, well, if I only had the situation of another person, then I would be able to go back to Godhead. If I was only in different circumstances, then I would be more serious about Krishna consciousness. But the fact is, everyone has an equal chance to go back to Godhead. It's what we're doing with the opportunity that should be analyzed. Otherwise, you all have an equal chance. Krishna is ready to give himself to everyone. Now, how are we turning Krishna away? That we should analyze and see. How am I turning Krishna away from my life? I know a prime way we do that. When we don't hear our rounds, we're turning Krishna away. Chanting Hare Krishna is the easiest way to capture Krishna. Yet we use our japa to repel Krishna. And then we wonder why during the day we don't have the strength to control the mind. But if we chant very nicely in the morning, it's very easy to see everything throughout the day has Krishna's energy. And naturally you become enthusiastic to glorify Krishna everywhere because you can see that Krishna is the Lord of everything. Once again, this essential point presented by Shukadeva Goswami. Because the Supreme Lord is the Lord of everything and everywhere, therefore we should always glorify Krishna. That enthusiasm is the life and soul of the devotee. In other words, we just don't worship Krishna in one place or on one day. No, our program is how to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead in all places and in all times. And that is what makes for the special enthusiasm of the Hare Krishna devotee. Our program, following in the footsteps of Lord Caitanya, is how to glorify Krishna everywhere in every situation. How to distribute Krishna's glories everywhere and in every situation, because Krishna is everywhere and Krishna is in every situation. This is what makes for the special, unique enthusiasm of the Krishna Bhakta. We say that the Lord is everywhere and we have the knowledge about how to glorify the Lord everywhere. And we are so intent to distribute Krishna's glories everywhere because the Lord is everywhere. In this way, every devotee has the opportunity to have such a high level of God realization through the omnipresent distribution of Krishna's glories. It's a very high level. How to use everything to glorify Krishna. How to realize the Lord's presence in everything. All based on chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. So anyone who wants to make a great change in their spiritual life, all you have to do is seriously every morning chant your round and you will see a change. Maybe you've had difficulty the past few years. Maybe you're feeling the hole in the heart. Maybe you're feeling that I'll be unfulfilled. What will become of me in the future? So many things we can be feeling, but if we simply go through the steps to chant nicely every morning, then you'll see a marked change in your spiritual life. I remember Prabhupada telling one devotee, I think it was probably Rohini Sutta Prabhu asked Prabhupada, how do you become an empowered book distributor? And Prabhupada replied, chant your rounds from beginning to end without interruption. You'll find that no matter what your service is, if you can arrange your morning so you can chant your 16 rounds with attention without interruption, then you'll see such a change in your life. And you'll be so grateful to Krishna. you'll abandon that fear that I'll be unfulfilled in the future, I'll have an empty heart, I'll have missed out on good sense gratification. No, all those delusions will go simply by chanting Hare Krishna with attention. And then instead of being fearful that I'll be unfulfilled, I'll have missed good sense gratification, instead you'll be grateful. Now everyone loves to be grateful because that means you've gotten something that's so precious. I'm grateful. It's totally different from being fearful that I'll be unfulfilled. I missed out. I was left hanging high and dry. But to be grateful means you're satisfied and you feel so obligated. You appreciate so much. I've tasted. I'm full. Therefore, I'm feeling grateful. That is what life is about when we actually just chant Hare Krishna with attention every day. And by chanting Hare Krishna with attention, we naturally become enthusiastic that we want others to chant Hare Krishna. And in this way, the experience of realizing Krishna everywhere becomes widespread, and we become even more satisfied because we see others are getting the same experience. And so Prabhupada points out in the purport, by this method, the whole world can become peaceful. The whole world can actually become satisfied. It's not just some kind of theory or wishful thinking. This is the technique that the whole world can actually become satisfied and lose the fear and anxiety that I'll be left unfulfilled. So please think about that, because it's behind the consciousness of so many of us. The fear that after I do so much for Krishna, like we're doing so much, after I do so much for Krishna, I'll be left with an empty heart. I'll become old, and I've missed out on good sense gratification. I won't have experienced real love. No, bhakti is all about love. But we're not applying ourselves, sometimes, with full absorption. And then we wonder, where is the love? Don't wonder, where is the love? Wonder, where is my absorption? And absorption in bhakti begins every morning when we chant our japa. Every woman and man has that responsibility to chant nicely.